The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One transfer in particular got my attention today. And he might not even play this season. Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday. Thank you to everyone across the network who comes here for a couple hours of college football convo each day. He's sitting in, doing a great job at the end of last week. So thank you to him. David's here. You're here. Well, gosh, let's talk college football. When I say there is one college football transfer in particular has got my attention, that would be someone who has separated from the crowd, to be sure, because there's a lot of not only just players, raw number of players in the transfer portal, but there's some pretty good talent and some proven talent. Now, when I say one has my attention more than any other, that's supposed to be a quarterback, because that's just the fast pass. That's the express lane to we're going to be better than last year. Now, what does better mean? I don't know. For Texas to be better than last year? You know, it's a tall order. Will Bama be better in year one than year final? DeBoer and Satan? Probably not, because they would have to go to the national championship game. So we've got all kinds of storylines with transfers all around America. And end of last week, we had seen the story, middle of last week, whenever it was after the 16th, Colorado running back Dylan Edwards announced he was in the portal. Now, over the weekend, he has announced that one of the two schools he had previously committed to, Kansas State, that's where he was going. Now, he's from Kansas, and again, he had committed to the Wildcats at one time in high school. So I want you to know that what I'm about to talk about, it's partially true with Dylan Edwards, but it's also partially true with probably a lot of kids who have been in the Colorado program recently. Dylan Edwards announced he was going to transfer. And he was a four-star running back coming out of high school, had been a K-State commit, had been a Notre Dame commit. He flips his commitment, enrolls, plays at Colorado, has a big first week, has a couple of other nice weeks after that. As a true freshman, he ran for about 300 yards. He caught 36 passes for about 300 yards, and he had four touchdowns. Now, three of those came in week one. That was the TCU thing that we all watched. And he was a top 150 recruit. He's actually 140. And he's from a place called Derby, Kansas, who I have known people from before. K-State, Notre Dame. Nah, Coach Prime, I'm home in Boulder. Now, when I say this transfer has my attention, it's not because I think he's going to transfer to Kansas State and suddenly he's going to be Ollie Gordon, or he's just going to turn into like a 2,000-yard back. He's a good running back, good-looking young player. But when I say he may not play, I will widen that, actually. I will say he won't start, or narrow it. And that's because he is not going from a situation where week one I was the belle of the ball, and then as the season went along, we funneled me out of the play, and so I'm angry and I'm going someplace I can start. It's not what's going on here. Dylan Edwards is transferring to K-State, and they have a returning tailback DJ Giddens, he went for 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns last year. Do you use more than one running back? Absolutely. Dylan Edwards going to be good enough to play? Absolutely. Will he start? No. Will he be the bell cow? No. Because part of the way DJ Giddens doesn't enter the portal is because you take care of him, break him off, and y'all reach an understanding. And as we have seen, college football players who have reached an understanding and then all of a sudden things aren't quite so well understood on the adult side, it could be for anything. Where's my paycheck? Or I don't like the t-shirt you're wearing, Coach Gundy. This is not 1979. Bear Bryant was national champion. Of course he could. And any other coach could look at their players and go, what are you going to do about it? So Barry Switzer back in the day, we all saw this. I saw it actually unfold. But if you didn't see the 30 for 30 on Marcus Dupree, folks, he was going to be Herschel Walker. He was overweight, out of shape. Probably already had a pulled hamstring and went for like 220 in the Fiesta Bowl and got caught from behind three times and went for over 200 yards. As a freshman, and he was the greatest running back in the game potentially, and then the transfer thing, and Barry Switzer looked at that guy. He changed his whole – he went away from the wishbone. He's like, yeah, what do you do? I'm going to transfer to Southern Miss. And then Marcus Dupree found out why you really didn't do that. You really didn't transfer, especially when you'd waited like four or five games into your sophomore year. He was never, ever going to play college football again. It basically ended his career. Well, that was 40 years ago, and that was one kid. Now, there were a lot of other kids. I picked one that hopefully some people have a little recognition with because the ESPN and their outstanding series of documentaries. But it wasn't just Marcus Dupree. It was also the second team free safety at Tennessee State. It was like, they looked at him. What are you going to do? You ain't do anything, so get back in line. If you don't like it, then you'll be third team. Okay. And more often than not, that's what went along. Well, obviously, that's not the case anymore. And over the weekend, Colorado was in the news a little bit. Coach Prime was talking, and part of his message I actually like. But when I say one transfer in particular has got my attention, that's Dylan Edwards. It's because of the three dozen kids that he is joined by on the way out of Colorado. They had a spring game over the weekend. And I will say numbers-wise, they had more attention paid to a spring game than any team coming off a 4-8 season ever had. Had 28,000 folks show up. That stadium seats about 50,000 and a few hundred. I don't know if they're... I'm not kidding. Like, is everybody so high in Colorado that they don't understand you don't pay money for a bad product? Because they keep showing up. Even in their really bad seasons, they'd still get about 40. Now, 40,000 at an SEC game, you go, Chuck, we've already fired the coach. 40,000 at a Colorado game or 50,000 in a sellout back in the 22 season when they only won one game and they were 0-5 and had a home game against Cal Berkeley and they sold the thing out. So I don't know if there's just a dearth of entertainment around the Boulder area. I can't imagine it. But the fans, I'll put it this way. The fans are doing more work than the program. They really have been. And so to get 28,000 to come out for this spring game on a cold, rainy day, because on April 27th in Boulder, it can still be cold and rainy. Folks, that was after 47,000 came out last year. So I told you they were still topping around 40,000, even in a hard 1-11 season. They had more than that for a fake made-up game where all it was Coach Prime wearing a cowboy hat and a puffy jacket and some snowflakes falling down. But it was a fun time. More attention than any 1-11 team ever had. And that's still just one win, and then that's still just four wins. A lot of attention, four victories. And with the amount of transfers, and I'm just saying pure numbers-wise, out of Colorado, out of the program, there are certainly all kinds of profiles of players slash student-athletes slash kids and reasons for them leaving. I'm homesick. Or I'm not starting and I wanted to, or this isn't the defense that I thought I'd play in an odd front, or whatever it is. We all know the reasons, kids. Let's go back before name, image, likeness was a thing. The portal's fine because all these reasons apply. It just made it easier for them. Name, image, likeness became the reason you do. The portal became how you do. Name, image, likeness became the impetus. All the reasons that once the, do you remember we, what was it? I'm going to guess here and I'm going to get it wrong. Heath will correct me. 2000, I don't know, 16, 17, 18, whenever it was, you can play four games, but not lose your red shirt. Beginning that year, there were a lot of kids. It was originally, the coaches thought they got one over. Man, well, I'm going to be able to use these kids for four games and keep them for a fifth year. And then they realized, no, it's the kids who got you. I'm going to play four games and then out. So when that portal came, we started seeing just blatantly laid out all the reasons that a kid would transfer. We're seeing that and then money added to it now. So there's all kinds of scenarios. The ones that existed, I want playing time. I want to be close to my mama again. I want to go play with my high school teammates. She'd have gone there from the outset. All of those are still, you know, whatever. But make no mistake, one subset of the 37 players leaving Colorado is, I just want out. I just want different. I just want normal. I just want something other than this. And it may not actually matter where, not to a, as long as it's a kind of program that I could have gotten out of high school. I just want out. Now, when I say there's part of Deion's message that I actually like, it was his second spring game as Colorado head coach. And Shador and Shiloh both played some. It was a, they just scrimmaged for an hour, and that was enough. They're almost certainly going to play their final seasons, both of them. And then they'll go off to the pros, and Shador is going to be a first-round pick. Unless there's an injury or something like really unforeseen, that kid was treated like a pinata last year, and he didn't turn the ball over. Job one. Do no harm. You're a doctor. Do no harm. After that, all right, now let's talk. Well, he's good. And he's obviously smart and has a different level of understanding. He popped out of the womb and Deion was saying, find the safety. So Shador's, he's got a really bright future, it appears. But he was also asked about bolting the Colorado program and going back to the league with his kids because I'm going to spin the wheel and land it on the New York Giants. They draft Shador, and then they hire Deion to do something. What have you told your kids? What have you told your Colorado students and athletes who aren't your sons about your future? Quote, I tell them the truth. I tell them I'm a father, not a baby daddy. I don't follow my kids. I pave roads for my kids. I build generational wealth for my kids. I lead my kids. I don't follow my kids. I'm the adult, so I don't plan on following my kids at the NFL. I have work to do here. I absolutely love. So he goes on with that, and some of it is, then back in Colorado's the place to be, so y'all come on out. We got money. But that was actually a good message. He was like, I'm the adult here. I don't follow my kids. I do all kinds of things for my kids, but I don't follow them. And so I got business in Boulder. I like the message. And when you're getting kind of on par for a made-up game twixt yourself in April when the weather stinks, as you do for a real game in October, November, when sometimes the sights around that stadium, man, it's one of the most beautiful places to be on earth in the fall. It'd be cold and gross to get to sometimes, but that's later. It's a good fit. They're already winning. Okay, they're already winning in so many ways, but there is an issue with player retention, and the part that bothers me isn't, well, I was going to go to Florida State my final 3 years of high school, and then I just got won over, and I left Bradenton, and I wish I'd never done that. That's normal. It's that big subset because it has to be a subset because and it has to be big because there's 37 and there's such a similar thread that a lot of kids saying, I just need different than this. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and jump into it on this Monday next.
king of college football no matter where you go. With a new Southern Sports Today app, catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
It is Chuck Oliver Show. That man just told you, and it's true. We're talking college football, and we are full up on the Duncan Newsmakers lines today with everybody you want to hear from either important spring games over the weekend or just wrapped up maybe the previous weekend, or maybe we're going to fly all the way across the ACC. Maybe we'll do that with our good friend Mark Packer from the ACC Network in hour two. Also, Andrew Spivey, Gator Country, he's going to come on. They've been hosting, like everybody else, a bunch of potential transfers, people in the portal. And so we'll get an update on Billy Napier's pivot following spring. And we'll also start with John Michaels, Inside the U podcast, also from WCNN in Atlanta, Georgia. And we'll talk Miami Hurricanes. They got four transfers over the weekend, including that stud tailback, Damian Martinez, from Oregon State. So that happened, and that's who we'll be talking to on the Duncan Newsmaker line as we go throughout this day. As I said, there were some spring games this past weekend. That was the 27th. There was a nice handful. There were five in the SEC. The previous Saturday, the 20th, both those dates fall after April 16th. I don't know if there is actually a hard line to draw between you had your spring game after the portal opened and a negative outcome for your program, because you're the head coach and you don't work for anybody else on campus in a lot of places. Some places you do. Some places you work for the AD or you work for the booster or whatever. Like Nick Saban, he didn't work for anybody. Hush. So to the capacity of deciding when your spring game is, Clark Lee doesn't work for anybody. It's spring game whenever you want. And if you had yours after the 16th, here's what I know. The best you could hope for is it didn't hurt you. That's the best you can hope for. Eli, I've given him kudos from the get-go. When he announced, here's the firm date a month before the portal. I think it was exactly a month before the portal opened. And then here we are, the 20th and then the 27th, and there's spring games over the weekend, and some of them involving important programs. On October 4th, I found that this morning, okay? So I will say, as of October 4th, 2023, in this from NCAA.org, so this from them, their words, their announcement, it wasn't just about the spring portal, but it was about the portal transfer windows that were going to open over the rest of the academic year. And as of October 4th, direct from the NCAA, quote, 30 days in the fall, beginning 7 days after a sports championship selection, 15 days in the spring, and in parenthesis from the NCAA on October 4th, it says May 1st through the 15th. Folks, it's the middle of November, and I'm reading fans on message boards talking, it's May 1st through the 15th, and so that, I hear fans already referencing it. Now, did it hurt you? I don't know. Did it help you? Absolutely not, especially if you had kids that you hadn't gotten a full evaluation of. Like, you didn't even get to crush their hopes. They were like, I don't know how this is going to go. After four more practices and then the game, I'll just portal now. No, wait a minute. Just get to the game at least. Maybe the guy that I was going to start and then I was going to crush this other kid's heart, maybe he wakes up and his tummy doesn't help feel good and the Pepto doesn't help. And so, unbeknownst to everyone, this guy actually does go out and play. But, like, anything can happen. You never want to have to, like, declare, show your cards. That's why you defer. I don't want the ball yet. I want to know something. I want to push this off. And not every coach did that. So, the NCAA, as late as the middle of November, that's when everybody should have known. And it's just something that I noticed. What up, Heath?
So, there's an interesting saga that's playing out, and I think it's going to become a lot more common, Chuck, from what we're hearing. But specifically the one that got my attention over the weekend, Penny Boone is not going to be able to transfer into Kentucky. There have been all these fans saying, hey, what's going to ever slow this down? Are kids just going to transfer every semester? And the answer is, well, these are still universities. And when you transfer, you lose credits. Not every school honors every credit from the previous school. Some schools will have classes that another school doesn't even have an equivalent of on their course.
You don't offer the major.
And so Boone, for those who don't remember, is the kid who was MAC Player of the Year on offense, transferred into Louisville, did not like the fact he was told, apparently, that at least coming out of spring, he was going to be the number two back, not the starter. And so went on social media, made some comments to express his disdain for that, and announced he was back in the portal. And all indications were Kentucky is where he was going to go, except for Kentucky apparently took a look at the transcript and was like, yeah, we can't do that. This is somebody who began his career at Maryland, then after two seasons in Maryland, transferred to Toledo, had the big year last year at Toledo, then transferred to Louisville. And now he's trying to transfer again to Kentucky, and they're just saying, "We, transcript's not going to work. We can't do it." I don't know if there is a school somewhere out there that can figure out a way to make his transcript work, or if he's just kind of marooned in Louisville, and whether or not the coaches would even let him back on the team if he is, given what he had to say. They would certainly be justified in having moved on by now. But this is going to be now the next step, Chuck, and it's not just him. Apparently, there's a bunch of other kids that are maybe a little less high profile, but who just are under the impression you can just jump and jump and jump, that are finding out, yeah, after that third jump, you're starting to really not have the ability to jump anymore. And so these one semester transfers are a super bad idea.
We talked, wasn't it about a month ago or so, that you and I both personally know former college athletes who, for lack of a better, they stumbled their way. They hung around and found a diploma in their hands, and it changed their family tree. That really is something that happens in college athletics, and it can change your life. But it's like trading in a car. You're on the bad side. Like, you lose all of that built-in equity. It goes down every single time you transfer. And I have to imagine that, like, he may be skating by with credits from Louisville. So that's where he sits right now.
Now, the winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.
For college football talk with the king of college football, it's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Monday on Chuck Oliver Show and Duncan Newsmaker Lang, and have all your favorite guests today. We welcome on our truest reporter for the University of Miami, John Michaels, joining us from Inside the U and also WCNN in Atlanta in just a couple of minutes. It is a big day, and actually it is today. It's not everybody had recruits over the weekend, transfers over the weekend, and you're trying to get the commitments right then before they motor on off. But LSU is actually starting one of their visits today with Dominic Williams at TCU, and we'll bring you more of that coming up. Everybody thinks about the University of Miami and quarterbacks, if you think history, quarterbacks and maybe defensive backs. Back in 1989, they wrapped up their regular season, put a number on Notre Dame, and Sports Illustrated comes out, and it wasn't a quarterback on the cover. It was his running back named Stephen McGuire, who was just a touchdown machine. When I think of Miami, I think of their running backs. When they were at their best, it was about pass rush and running backs, and it was about Clinton Portis and Edge and those guys. They've got a nice one coming down there in the transfer we told you about earlier in the program, and I know that that's something that Mario makes a priority, but there's a lot of other kids going to join Damian Martinez as well. We're going to go over all of this with John Michaels, as I told you, our good friend from Inside the U podcast. You want Miami information, that's where it is. What's up, John? How's your Monday?
Doing great, Chuck. We called that yesterday a faux for faux in Miami. Four transfers in about 4 hours as they loaded up yesterday. Really good job by Mario Cristobal and company. It's funny, you mentioned that Stephen Maguire Sports Illustrated that is hanging on my wall in the basement in the man cave right now.
That's fantastic. He was just a tough and like nobody really remembers him unless you're, you know, like a hardcore Canes fan like you, for instance. But everybody knows Willis McGahee and Frank Gore and those guys. And to me, I was like, everybody thinks quarterbacks and fast receivers and all that. I'm like, man, that Miami would just destroy folks. Talk about Damian Martinez and what he may bring to the – because not like Henry Parrish was bad, but Damian Martinez, next-level guy.
Yeah, and remember, Henry Parrish is gone. He transferred and went back to Ole Miss.
No, that's what I was saying. Lost. It's not like he was bad last year, but right. Him leaving, you actually upgrade.
Oh, 100%. You're talking about a kid that ran for over 1,100 yards, put the ball in the end zone in a similar scheme at Oregon State. And let's be real, a lot of these Oregon State kids are looking around going, we're the team without a conference and not a whole lot to play for. He's going to walk down to Miami and be a starter because of all the transfers. And I know you talked about a bunch of them. You walked into that room and looked around and go, okay, I'm the alpha dog. Mark Fletcher dealing with a foot injury coming off the game at Rutgers at the end of the year. There's now concern that he may not be ready to start the year. So Miami realized they needed a starting quality running back that could go out and get the ball 20 times a game, take some pressure off Cam Ward, and Damian Martinez is exactly that.
Sam Brown, he does not have to come in and be the one, and that may kind of open things for him a little bit. Houston wide receiver coming into the program, and you would think Cam Ward's already got his guy under Restrepo maybe, but this is a nice addition.
Yeah, and he's a guy that played in Shannon Dawson's system. Remember, Dawson comes over from Houston a couple of years ago. So he'll walk in, know all the lingo, and be ready to roll. He also replaces Colby Young. Colby Young was the 6'5 receiver that left and transferred to Georgia. And from everything I saw in University of Georgia spring practices, Colby looks fantastic. So Miami had two. You got Jacoby George. You have Xavier Restrepo. Two guys are 800-plus yard receivers a year ago. And now you add Sam Brown at 6'2, legitimate 4.4 speed, had over 800 yards receiving as well. So you've got three guys, and now you can sprinkle in some of the youngsters. JoJo Trader is a freshman, I promise. Everybody needs to watch. Everybody talks about the kid Jeremiah Smith that went to Ohio State. His teammate was JoJo Trader, and the only reason JoJo Trader probably wasn't a five-star is the fact that he had to share catches with Jeremiah Smith. Watch him. They've got a kid named Nye Carr, who's a little water bug, super fast. There's weapons out there, obviously, for Cam Ward to throw to.
Other side of the ball, and I got to keep my accounting straight here, a linebacker from Louisville and a corner with some bona fides from Marshall.
Yep, and again, corner comes over Hill. He's a kid that played in Lance Guidry's system. So I think familiarity is a reason you want to walk over. And the kid from Louisville, Alderman, I believe the last name, can come in and get things done. Miami lost 600 snaps worth of linebacker play, either via the portal or kids graduating a year ago. And K.J. Cloyd and you had number 11, Corey Flagg, leave via the transfer portal. So while they do have depth return in Mauinoa playing linebacker, probably one of the best in the ACC, Wesley Bassaint, another kid that's really good. They were going to have depth where it was youngsters, freshmen, redshirt freshmen, Popo Aguirre, guys like that. So they wanted to upgrade there. Corner is a position of a lot of thinness. They had two good starters. You've got Damari Brown, and you obviously had Daryl Porter Jr., who's really good. But everything in behind there was kind of a, oh boy, let's wait and see. And I think Hill walks in, probably seizes that nickel corner job. You know, nickels on the field about 60% of the time, maybe more in college football. So they absolutely had to upgrade at those positions.
Impressive to get Martinez, especially because everybody knew he was – you're not going to stay in a program that's not power four if you're that type of guy. And so he was going to land somewhere, and out of everybody, Mario hauled him in. That's pretty big. All right, well, let's talk about your post-spring practice. You've been percolating on that with what you've seen so far from the portal. reasonable expectations, and honestly, I don't even know what to say. I thought I knew last year, and I had a pretty good idea, and I was left wanting a bit. But tell me where you think the program sits, and I mean big picture in the ACC, because Florida State went undefeated last year, and Miami fans, that's not really something they like dealing with.
No, we hate it. I was really glad Georgia put 63 on them in the Orange Bowl. At least we had that to hold on to going into the offseason. You know, I've tried to, and you've known me a long time, Chuck. I am the most over the top. Miami's going to win, and then I realized they don't. I've tried to temper my expectations going into this offseason, but when you bring a Cam Ward in, now you bring a Damian Martinez, you have your two top receivers coming back, you've got studs all over the field on defense, Reuben Bain, absolutely a special monster at defensive end, and it's year three where the talent base has improved a ton. And you're also in a topsy-turvy ACC. Why not Miami? And I'm being for real. Why not Miami represent this conference? Clemson, they're not the Clemson they were 3 years ago. Cade Klubnik's never really advanced. Florida State's dealing with departures, and I'm talking about multiple guys going in the NFL draft. 10 drafted, your quarterback Jordan Travis is gone. They bring a transfer in DJU that I'm not overly impressed with in the 5 years that he's been around. Louisville's kind of in flux. Had a great first year, but who knows what's going to happen there. Miami's schedule is very navigable. Florida to open, get some time to really get yourself rolling. A stretch in the middle of the year, I think, is Virginia Tech and FSU, pretty close together. Yep. But why not Miami? My expectations, honestly, 10 is the floor. If they don't win 10 games this year, I don't think Mario Cristobal is the guy for the job. I think they are a legitimate 10-win contender, and I think when that 12-team playoff comes out, Miami's going to have themselves probably a road game, but they're going to be playing somewhere.
Last thing for you, and it's about the quarterback. And it's okay to ask this. I would have never imagined, you know, asking this earlier because it was a different time and continuity and familiar with your offense and the wide receivers, all of that counted for everything. Cam Ward's been down in South Florida for a few months. Everything's new to him there. Can he be the best or most productive or just bottom line raw numbers? Can he be the best quarterback in the ACC this season?
Absolutely. You know, talk about the guys that are gone. Obviously, Drake May going high up in the NFL draft. Jordan Travis probably was the best player in the conference a year ago. He's gone. Again, I mentioned Cade Klubnik. I don't think he's all that great. I like the kid at Virginia Tech. I think he has a chance to be really special in year two as a starter. But Ward comes in with all the raw athletic talent, all the ability to throw the ball, and he's been super productive everywhere he's gone in college with lesser talent around him. You know, you're thinking about a guy that threw for over 3,000 yards at Washington State, and you and I probably can't name two players that play for Washington State. Now you're going to walk into Miami with a lot of talent, a lot of expectations, an offensive coordinator who's got a set piece ready to roll in year two, probably the best offensive line in the ACC, a great running back behind him. Yeah, I think Cam Ward is on my short list, meaning one of one, to be the best quarterback in the ACC.
John, I always say the unintentional is the most revealing. I don't think you just even said Cade Klubnik's name.
I did briefly. I said Cade Klubnik just hasn't. Yeah. He just turned into what we thought he was going to be.
All right, I was saying, did I miss that? You mentioned Cade Klubnik. Haynes King at Georgia Tech. Did he make any sort of impression? Because I'm looking around at some – and the reason I'm being on Klubnik, he's a former five-star out of Texas. Haynes King's a former high four-star out of the state of Texas. Malik Murphy, again, high four-star state of Texas. He's at Duke now. So there are some guys that at least by what we normally, you know, form our initial opinion about – there are multiple guys throughout the ACC that they're supposed to be really good quarterbacks. Talk about Haynes King, and if you have any impression on Murphy after watching him for a couple of games last year, because they at least bring dynamic potential.
Yeah, I love Haynes King. If Haynes King can cut down on turnovers, he has a real chance to be right at the top of the conference. Again, year number two, knows the system, has explosive players around him. Brent Key has upgraded the talent, obviously, at Georgia Tech, and a big part of that was King. He also brings an ability to run the ball, sneaky fast, a kid that can get out and make plays and do things that way. I think he's in the mix, and I liked Murphy. Honestly, when the transfer portal opened and I knew Miami was going to be in the quarterback market, Murphy was on my short list of guys that I wanted. I wanted him. I wanted Cam Ward. Those were probably the top two because I wanted to add that athletic element. obviously accuracy wasn't the best a year ago at Texas or when he was able to get in and get some playing time. But again, the athletic ability is going to be there. And Manny Diaz in his years at Miami was at best when he had an athletic quarterback in De'Aaron King. So I think they'll release Malik Murphy and kind of let him roll and have some fun. I just got to see it without having Texas five-star talent around him, how good he is. So if I probably ranked him, it would be Ward. I'd probably have number two, Haynes King, and then number three, Cade Klubnik, because it's about time he puts it together and really gets things going.
Okay, so for the opener in Gainesville, is it the green tank with a white U on it? Like, what are you doing down there? Because I know you're going exposed arms.
Well, absolutely. It's good. Usually I'll do the white. It's so hot at the Swamp in August, August 31st. It's like the sun and then like Gainesville. They're kind of like right next to and connected. But I've already got the white tank with just the U on it. You got to have the arms exposed. Got to have the Nike dunk that'll match with it. And then probably some orange shorts just to kind of get the outfit complete.
All right, so the white tank, the board shorts, and that'll be John with the earring and all the ink, so you'll know him.
Oh, yeah.
Brother, I appreciate your time as always.
All right, Chuck.
John Michaels. So just as big a Miami fan, and he is unapologetic about it. He and Mario have shown each other their tattoos. I absolutely know that that's accurate. That they have compared Miami tattoos. And so that's what I mentioned this. Who was I talking about? Oh, Stephen A. Smith. I mentioned this last week, I think. Stephen A. Smith is a Knicks fan, and you know it. He's big-time national media. He can do whatever he wants. He can walk around with no pants on if he's wanting. He's Stephen A. Smith. But he's a Knicks fan, and he hasn't been driven off by knowing everybody at the Knicks. I mentioned that Paul Feinbaum, every so often he reveals, oh yeah, he's a Tennessee fan. I think that's awesome. John is raging Miami Hurricanes. At some point it became where a lot of folks, and I'm talking on this end of it, decided, I have to be impartial. You can still be impartial. You can still be fair, but be a fan of your team. So I can't be a fan. No, those two are not related. They can overlap and mix into a pretty awful brew sometimes, but they certainly don't have to be. And so John will evaluate, believe me, but he's very transparent about it. He says, when I evaluate, I'm going to be on one wild end of the scale most times. So the information's good, but then, hey, John, what's your opinion of Saturday? At that point, John is fully transparent about it. I put on my fan hat, so I appreciate his time. All right, we break, and we wrap up our one next.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
It was not going to fit at Auburn. They were always going to want him to do the War Eagle stuff. War Eagle, War Eagle, War Eagle. Every time you pass somebody, War Eagle, War Eagle. It's not Merry Christmas, it's War Eagle. He wasn't going to do all that stuff. And Auburn is big into, hey, the coach is a cult figure. Kiss the babies. Take all the... That's not lame.
It's Monday on the Chuck Oliver Show. And that was last week on that SEC podcast. Latest episode of that SEC podcast, that's hosted by SEC Mike Bratton. We have him on all the time. That was Neil McCready. Neil McCready talking with Mike Bratton. And Neil knows what it's about when it comes to Ole Miss. There's no doubt about that. And I can confirm, don't ask an Auburn fan if you know an Auburn fan or grad. Hey, do people actually say, no, ask when was the last time? You don't need to ask. Do people really say War Eagle? No. Ask when was the last time. And I think it's a glorious salutation. But if you ask me, do people actually? I was like, yeah, from the past 40 years of my life. When was the last time? And if you ask an Auburn fan that, when was the last time? Someone you didn't even know, I would immediately respond, 2 days ago at the mall. I was wearing an, you were going to ask me when was the last time someone I didn't even know said War Eagle. And I looked at them and said, yeah, War Eagle. I was wearing Auburn something at the mall and somebody shouted at me. Like, not as we passed from across the giant opening where the tree grows up on the second level. So Neil's correct about that. Nothing wrong with being friendly. In fact, I'd say spread some more of that to, you know, other locales. Friendliest campus you'd ever find is Auburn. We had a heyday. I don't know if they still have heyday. Not H-A-Y. It's not a farm thing. They were agriculture way back. But heyday. Like, you get a sticker and, hey, and then my name is Chuck. And so, hey, I'm Chuck. Hey, I'm Steve. Heyday. Anything where you can have a Miss fill-in-the-blank pageant. So there was a Miss Heyday. So he's right about that. And the cult figure, he's right about that. I keep waiting for him to get to the negative part. Now, it may not be your taste. And for Lane, I can, again, that's Lane's way. And boy, it works for Lane. In fact, now, at this point in his life, it really, really works for Lane. I think ever since he missed that bus out of Atlanta, and I'll be darned, I don't know another head coach who, OC's not here, drive. And the guy, like, looks over his right, she's like, you, and Saban, drive. Trailways employees, like, yes, sir. And off they went. Left the OC at the stadium. Since that day, Lane's at a place that works for him, man. Fantastic. Now, he had also done, as I recall, he had gotten in a car with maybe a Sports Illustrated report, and Saban did not like publicity. You don't talk. Don't talk. I think he got in a car. It might have been Sports Illustrated and, like, drove around looking for homes in Boca. So he was out. But since then, man, and I don't even know since then. That was just Lane kind of being himself and, you know, growing older. He's older now than he was then. For most of us, you block any 6 or 7 year time or, like, more indifferent and mature. And Lane's in a great place. So all of that is true for Lane. I kept waiting for Neil to get to the negative part. I didn't. Nothing wrong with anything he said. If that's not for Lane, so be it. See, Auburn had 5 players drafted this weekend. 5 players drafted after what the on-field results have been. And I'm just overhearing Saturday, a sort of colleague of mine. They should have fired that coach. They did fire the coach because they had better players than the on-field results. So, yeah, they had 5. And it's right behind programs like, I don't know, LSU, Notre Dame, Georgia, Bama. Like, 5 players draft is not nothing. Hey, how's your Monday?
Well, my Monday's good, Chuck, but I wanted to weigh in on one thing, by the way, you just said. For what it's worth, if you are wearing clothing, people will make assumptions about you. And as somebody who just has a lot of dry fit shirts that I've just randomly acquired around the country just because I happen to go somewhere or because I just happen to be at a Marshalls or a TJ Maxx, and hey, I'll take a dry fit with almost anything on it for $10 to $12. You want to give me a Nike dry fit? Unless it's a school I actively dislike or another SEC school, I will not buy that. But if I'm wearing a West Virginia shirt, it doesn't mean I'm actually a hardcore West Virginia fan. And I feel bad because, especially West Virginia, you wear the West Virginia shirt, man, West Virginia people are excited to see you. And I always feel super guilty because I don't want to have to explain myself. I don't have to explain myself. It's just a shirt, man. It was on sale in Charlotte for $10. What can I tell you? So it's like, yeah, go Mountaineers. Some fan bases are way more into that than others.
Absolutely. You've been on the Auburn campus. We may be the friendliest campus you'd find.
Yeah, there's a lot of Auburn. I do not wear Auburn shirts because, again, I don't do SEC schools in general. But yeah.
You would be shouted out.
I was in Columbus this weekend. I was not wearing any Buckeye gear for any reason because I didn't want to have to be like, hey, go Bucks to a bunch of people when I have no actual rooting interest there. Meanwhile, I do have rooting interest in Colorado. Did not get to go to their spring game, but this is where we are now, Chuck. Yeah, you talked at the beginning, obviously, about Deion Sanders. You've got some people now that are trying to crap on it no matter what. And so the following headline from Pro Football Talk on social media, quote, The bloom is off the rose in Boulder. Spring game attendance for the Deion Sanders-led Buffaloes fell from more than 47,000 in 2023 to 28,424 on Saturday.
That was the take?
That was the take. The bloom is off the rose. Deion Sanders had only the second biggest attendance in the history of the program for his spring game, so the bloom is off the rose. Oh, yes, by the way, it was freezing rain during the game.
Yeah,
and 28,000 people showed up, and Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio, one of my least favorite people who has found his way in the media, decided that that was a good excuse to crap on Deion Sanders' program. I'm sorry, that's just stupid. There's plenty of things to point at in Colorado and raise questions. 28,000 for a spring game in freezing rain is not one of them.
Yeah, I was marveling. Now, I was taking it, and I think you would share this. Like, I asked you earlier, I was like, Heath, how'd they get 50,000 for the Cal game? You're like, Chuck, I have no earthly. But for the spring game, 28,000? Kudos.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Marketing is everywhere. From the billboards on the highways to the notifications on your phone, we are constantly bombarded with people trying to sell us stuff. What makes good marketing? Are you doing enough in your life personally and professionally to market yourself? You have questions, and the Marketing Mad Men have answers. Search the Marketing Mad Men on Google or your favorite podcast provider to get practical marketing advice from expert guests who are shaping and reshaping the business world. They say marketing is a madman's game. Join the Marketing Mad Men every Saturday at 4 p.m. to find out why.